This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free, and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot, so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful-looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. Some LED display manufacturers have made a mark in the digital signage and digital out-of-home industries by making a lot of noise and having splashy booths at trade shows. Media Resources International has taken a very different approach, plugging along pretty quietly and building up a solid book of business in the US and Canada that's based on its technology and end-to-end experience. The company has an unlikely home base in leafy, very upscale Oakville, Ontario, which is in the immediate orbit of Toronto. It started many years ago as a pure sign company and has used decades of experience in all the engineering, paperwork, and politicking of putting up billboards as a distinct advantage. LED is now 60% of what Media Resources does, and that's growing. I spoke with CEO Jeff Rushton. We get into the state of the business and why he's investing heavily in an automated manufacturing facility in Canada, doing work that's normally offshore to Taiwan or China. We also talk about Sightline, which is described as light trespass mitigation technology. What it does is hugely reduce light pollution from roadside billboards, so nearby homes aren't flooded in light and media companies get their new billboards approved by local authorities. Jeff, thanks for joining me. Can you give me the background on what Media Resources is all about?
Sure. Yeah, Media Resources actually started in 1967 as a sign installation company, and over the years it's grown into an integrated sign services business. We're doing indoor and outdoor large format digital signage across North America and now across the world. We do large format digital printing. We're, I think, North America's largest sign installer. And then we do 3D props for museums and billboard companies.
And so you've been doing traditional signs for a long time. What drove you onto the digital side?
Well, interestingly, I was lucky enough to join here as an equity owner in 2012-11. And at that time, the company had represented Yesco in Canada and sold to all the billboard companies. And when Yesco decided to go direct and the team understood the value of this business, we bought a couple of small companies doing manufacturing. And then we've expanded it greatly since then.
Okay. So when you're working with Young Electric Signs, I think the acronym is, you were doing the installation and putting up the what do you call them, the totems or whatever, the podiums for the displays?
Yeah, our customer base is around 70% billboard and then 30% basically commercial sign. And so we've had long-term relationships across North America with those customers. And so in Canada, we basically bought the boards installed them and maintained for our customers. And then again, since 2011, we've been doing it ourselves and have kind of grown and really focused on the billboard business.
How much of your business is analog versus digital now?
It works as digital before COVID. that's a yeah, whole
set
other
that aside.
it started off actually at 5% back in 2011, and last year it was 60% of our business, and both businesses were growing rapidly. So it's definitely it's definitely taking on a bigger share of our business.
Is that what you thought would happen, or are you happily surprised?
No, we thought it would happen. I was way back when I was a young lad in the billboard business myself, and then left and went into technology, and was happy to come back to this kind of hybrid world of technology and billboard. We knew that if we could get a couple of the large customers to work with us to try to optimize the product, that we knew it would be a successful venture, and we're happy that we made that bet and it worked out okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I know of your company, I've been at your plant years ago in Oakville, Ontario. I think that was when you're still relatively new into the company.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
And at that time, and we've even bumped into each other in Taiwan of all places, I believe you were sourcing and getting your LED modules and everything pretty much done either in China or Taiwan. But that's changing, right?
That's correct. Yeah. So over the years, we have Meteor Resources Asia Pacific that does sourcing for us in Japan, Malaysia, Taiwan, and China, because some components you can't get. The module manufacturing plant is done right now, was done there. We're really happy to report we're putting in here in the Toronto area what we believe to be the most automated module manufacturing plant in the world, with robotics and some really state-of-the-art optical recognition. And that will be ready for us here in the end of the year, early next year for mass production.
That's a significant investment.
Yeah, no, we've gone top drawer on everything. Dave, cold solder and other problems with the industry, every single manufacturer's had them. We've done everything in our power through both the design of the product and the design of the manufacturing plant to get rid of that. So we've really upscaled the level of equipment that we're bringing in here, some kind of industry first. So we're going to be excited to show this to all of our customers when we get it up in place and when people are allowed to travel again.
Yeah. So you'll have a different story to tell in that there are lots of companies, notably in the US and to some degree in Canada, who say they're LED manufacturers or have LED lines and talk about them being made in America, made in Canada, and so on. And reality is they're doing final assembly here, but that's about it.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So over the years, what we've done is as it stands now, with extrusion profiles, the control systems, module designs, module molds, PCB layouts, everything as we do today, this will be the last piece to bring back to North America. So we're very excited about that.
And as we discussed, it's an expensive thing to do, but when we were talking yesterday in advance of this, you were saying it's break even or actually saves you money?
Yeah. So because we've used so much automation, like the example, our line overseas, when it's running, there's around 33-ish people that'll be on that line. In our new one, it's 4 or 5. And so we save there. Second, through the better yields that we're going to get through the new profile. It's a massive reduction in working capital, because I can now almost build to order going forward, versus in the past, we have to guess 4 to 5 months out, what pixel pitch, what LEDs we're using, what size module. So this is going to be a really help, really drive a lot more just in time manufacturing for us.
Mm. Is it kind of the standard SMD packaging that you're going to be doing, or are you using the more, the newer stuff like mini and micro?
Yeah, so this is mostly actually, Dave, this is going to be mostly for the billboard market. So we're going to still do through-hole. And as you know, okay, this industry is moving and nobody really wants to do through-hole anymore except for North America billboards. So we've got that plus your outdoor SMD. What we will continue to do overseas, just because of volumes and stuff, will be some of the new fine pixel pitch. And we're evolving that space as well. There's a real movement in the industry, not only for indoor fine pixel pitch, but more importantly, outdoor fine pixel pitch. We're seeing some really neat things happening in that space.
Yeah, I've seen the outdoor fine pitch displays, particularly on these kind of vertical floor standing totem thingies. I'm sure there's a much better technical term for it, but to date, or at least the early versions, ran very hot, I found.
Absolutely.
And they also had a problem in that the resolution wasn't all that great because, it was still P10 or whatever. And I gather that's getting better all the time.
Yeah, Silicon Core and some others have got some really neat new technologies that they're licensing that gets a lot of the heat out of the system. And then you're getting down now, you know, we haven't launched it yet, but our desire is by the end of the year to have a 1.8 millimeter outdoor. So pretty exciting stuff. And it changes the game because, as you know, LCDs in heat don't work very well. So we believe this is going to be a better solution. And again, you don't have fixed size formats either. You can scale to whatever size you want without a bezel. So
at 1.8, are you getting to a point where it can start to do things like menus?
Yeah. In fact, we in our install side of our business in the US, until COVID happened, we were doing some massive rollouts of other people's products through drive-thrus, for instance. And we see this as a potential replacement. So again, early days on this particular space, this fine pixel pitch outdoor, but we're seeing that as a real growth area.
And what's the attraction of that versus just using, high bright LCD displays?
No bezel, total scalability in size, and longer lifetime. So things like transit systems, things like ferry terminals, large displays for outside of airports. So there's a pretty diverse market for it.
So going back to the outdoor stuff and the through-hole technology, which, you know, as you were saying, is older but
stable.
Given the way the outdoor business works, where many of the displays are seen at a considerable distance, particularly the highway billboard ones, that's really all you need to do.
Yeah, the interesting thing, as you've probably seen, Dave, is there's kind of been a bit of a, depending on which market you're in North America, there's been of a pixel pitch war between some of the media operators. For the most part, if you take a 1448 bulletin, most locations are fine, honestly, with a 20 millimeter. We're seeing a movement to some to 16. Some we've actually done 10 millimeter 1448s, but if you drive by them, it's very difficult to see the difference because they're back 100 feet and 60, 80 feet in the air. You can't discern the difference in pixel density.
So why are they battling on that? Is it just because that's, you know, something they can say it makes them different?
Well, it's a marketing. It's because it's a competitive marketplace for our customers. So they deem that as a marketing thing with the agencies and the clients. So our outdoor product, not taking the fine pixel pitch, goes 4, 6, 8, 10, 13, 16, and 20. So, you know, we try to satisfy all those needs with a kind of a common platform, but with just different pixel densities in the model.
Okay. So when you're getting into a 4 millimeter outdoor product, you're talking about things like what you did at that Hard Rock Casino in Sacramento?
That one, actually, that's a 10, but no, but see, okay. if you will, that's a good example. Downtown Toronto, there's a Thomson Reuters has a huge pylon that's up, whatever, 20 something feet, and it's right ground level. So that's those type of products we would use a 4 millimeter for. Downtown urban locations in North America inside cities will be a 4, 6, 10 millimeter type product.
Okay. And in those cases, you can get more kind of granularity in terms of the content you're putting up on a screen, like Thomson Reuters is probably doing news headlines and financial data.
Exactly. And in the general rule, and again, it depends on size and what content, as you just mentioned, the people are playing, but for every millimeter of pixel pitch, you should be back, you know, 3 feet effectively. So a 20 millimeter, as long as you're back more than 60 feet, rough rule of thumb, then it'll be hard for your eyes to actually see the pixels.
Okay. So I've heard the rule of thumb is, you know, anywhere from 6 to 10 feet, but you're saying 3 feet per millimeter?
Yeah. Now that if you get in within a 10 foot kind of space, then all rules are off, right? But for distance looking, but.
Right.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
Have you found in the last couple of years, as LED's prominence in the signage market and the digital out-of-home market has really elevated, that the perspective of who to buy from has changed? I mean, I can remember 5 years ago seeing all kinds of companies who I'd never heard of coming out with product and wondering, who are these people? How would I get support? Any of that stuff. And now it seems like there's a handful of companies that are getting the lion's share of the business because they have North American offices.
Yeah, I think it varies very much by vertical. So if you take the billboard business, you know, it's a very demanding business. It's 24/7, expectations for high uptimes, very long warranties. So, you know, it's whittled down to a few of us that, you know, that want to be and like to be in that space. For us, as a three of the four partners here are ex-billboard people. Mm-hmm. We like the space and we love the people, and some of these have been friends of ours for 20, 30, 40 years. So we're good with that. So we've not seen the influx of some of the lower end offshore players. But if you get into some other markets, you know, especially indoor, then it's a different whole dynamics.
Is part of the secret sauce with you guys is the fact that you have this long experience in doing the deployment, so you can not only sell them the modules, but you know how to put them in and deal with all the stuff that comes with it?
Yeah, like when I was blessed to be asked by the guys I used to work with, hey, Jeff, what are you doing? I was sitting in Houston running a software company or setting up a software company in July in Houston. Is very hot. Anyways, I said, sure, I came up here and I just saw this fantastic opportunity to be part of this. And I guess what makes us somewhat unique is, one, we are the only digital manufacturer that has a very large installation and printing and 3D arm. So we think about it as a holistic product, not just a digital thing that somebody's putting up. So we think about safety and speed and installation. And then we're blessed with some of the people that have been hired as part of the team. You know, we've got a super strong engineering team, and you know, one of our chief product architect is a guy that he's in industry councils and seen it very well. So we've really thought about it maybe a bit differently. Our product's called Vision IQ. The IQ is intelligent network. So I come from a systems background. So we thought about, let's build it like a network with failover, redundancy, self-alerting, all those type of things. Now, a lot of our competitors are now doing that, but we looked at it differently 10 years ago. And I think that's maybe that with the great partners I have and this integrated product, I think that's what our difference is.
Yeah, it's an interesting corollary because, you know, I live and breathe digital signage, and I've been saying for, a decade or more, how important device management is, mm-hmm. and getting blank looks 10 years ago. And now everybody's catching up and realizing how important that is. And if you don't have good device management, you're really not even in the game.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I really like, we like to work with our competitors in the industry councils, whether it's OAAA or our IBO. And, you know, the councils that are on there, they're thinking standards, they're thinking API, they're thinking diagnostics frameworks. We're working on a couple of initiatives for the industry that we'll basically give to the whole industry once we're finished. And, you know, some pretty cool things with cameras and some pretty good things with remote management. So that's where I hope it goes, because my view on this one, and we had a great presentation with a couple of our customers. It's not about, we're 4% of the market, as you know, for out of home, of the whole media dollar. Well, it's kind of silly. We fight amongst each others for that 4%, and of digital, that is 1% of the 100%. Let's grow that 4 to 8% as a team and take away from online and television, et cetera. That's kind of my viewpoint of the world.
Mm. When I was in China and Hong Kong, same trip, one of the things that struck me is, first of all, that there are so many companies who are manufacturers over there. Mm-hmm. But what that meant is the costs were relatively low, and there were digital billboards everywhere. Like, I would go down a side street in Hong Kong where, you know, you would absolutely not expect to see a big LED board. And, you know, there was this very, very large display over a nightclub or something. And I was thinking, this is what's going to happen eventually in, you know, North America and to some degree in Europe.
Yeah, it's, I'm actually surprised, honestly, David, because I've been to Europe a lot and overseas a lot, personally and with business. And yeah, the North American billboard market is much different, less urban, especially in the United States, larger billboard highway boards versus smaller format boards. If you've been to the UK, you know, standard size there is 3 meters by 6 meters, or, you know, 10 by 20 and 6 millimeter display, where we would have that as a 10 or 16 millimeter here. So it's very different. It's very, very different. And the rest of the world is SMD, surface mount, and we're through hole for the most part.
Is part of the reason for the adoption rate getting away from, you know, the highway billboards, local zoning regulations? And that kind of leads me into the sightline question.
Yeah, Hunter, what you nailed it. That's, I think, the biggest reason. So.
So what is, I've seen the material, but I don't know that too many people are familiar with what Sightline is all about. Can you kind of walk me through what that is?
Sure. This is another brilliant invention by our engineering team in Chang.
You're not going to attribute it to yourself?
No. This is, we were lucky enough to pick up, as part of our engineering team, Chang and his team. We purchased his company back in 13 or 14. And he had this idea of ability to block light away from residential neighborhoods. So it's evolved quite a bit over the years. So the new version, we have a 400 millimeter standard product we like to use for billboards. We worked on that with Lamar originally at their request. And then we've evolved that. Now we have our sightline in that format. And what that basically does is somebody says, I may have a light problem against a residential zone, airport, you know, military operation, anywhere that there's light sensitivities. We'll do a full light study on that. We'll look at what we can do to mitigate light in areas that they don't want light. We'll write a report and tell them exactly what we can do. Can we help you or not in that area? And then effectively, we build a custom module for that location. And it combines a different orientation of the pixels, the red, green, blue, a different way to do louvering, vertical and horizontal, thickness, height. So there's a whole pile of math that's gone into making this well. In fact, today, we're installing one today for DDI Media. And we'll finish that up with a light gun report that shows exact here. We said we're going to be at this net level. Here it is in the day. Here it is at night.
So the idea here is you have residents of a community living near a, you know, a major roadway, who get wind of a proposal for an LED board going up. And they're concerned that they're going to have light blasting into their bedrooms at 2 a.m.
And it's a true story. So there's a great one in Utah, just south of Salt Lake. And there was a competitor board put up. And across the highway was another community, different community. And it was a, you know, high-end residential neighborhood. And this thing was just blasting. And the governor was so upset he was going to shut down billboards. I can't remember the exact time. It was 9 or 10. Anyway, our competitor called us and said, hey, can you help out? on this. And so, sure. So we basically, they moved that board to somewhere else. And then we put in a, we designed a board, and there's a, you know, there's a news story online that shows, you know, pre and post, and they're pretty happy.
So what happens are that these louvers deflect the light and focus it, so it's not going everywhere.
That's correct. You're basically designing the product so light is blocked from where it's not meant to be. Now, it doesn't work for all situations, right? So we that's why we do the analysis first to tell you whether we can help. I will say that every time we've done the analysis and said that we can do it and it and meet these light levels away from the highway, we've had 100% success rate.
When you do the analysis, have you run into any cases where they say that's awesome, but now we're going to go with this other company?
Not so far. Not so far. I mean, it's a competitive world. I'm sure someday somebody will be able to do this, not just us. So.
How do you prevent other manufacturers from doing some variation of it, particularly manufacturers in Asia Pacific?
We're pretty tight on, like, this is controlled by our team over there, but like anything, all hardware, as you know, David, it will all mitigate to a common standard at some point. So, you know, we continue to evolve this and tighten it up. As I mentioned, we evolved the last version we just put up, which is actually this new round we're doing today. It's super flat. Like, the tolerances are so good. So your light roll off is it's insane, actually, how quickly it rolls off away from where you want it to be.
So. Not that it really matters, but I'm kind of curious, does this sort of hurt the viewing cone, so to speak? Like, if you're off access, you can't really see what's on the screen?
Yeah. So what happens is our standard product is designed with a very wide view angle. We use an optical down angle or down angle LEDs to really try to get as wide as view as possible. With this product, the Sightline product, we actually do just the opposite. We make sure that in the intended view area, it looks like a normal board would. But when you go outside of the view area, it gets dark very quickly. The new version we have, the transition zone between awesome and almost dark is 8-12%. It's so small. So that, wow. We're very proud of what the team's been able to do.
So if you're using this technology, and I live in an area where I live, there's nothing but trees, so it ain't going to happen. But if I did, you could see this going up, and even though it's relatively close, it would have a nominal impact on your,
absolutely, you
know, on light pollution.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, it's amazing the roll off. I'll send you a couple of videos that can show you. It's quite crazy, actually.
Hmm. And how are you marketing that? Is it just direct to customers?
Yeah, we've been working on this for quite some time. We have had test situations in the market and quite a few boards across actually all parts of North America. And now we're going really aggressively because we've got what we call the final form. Like, I can't think of anything that can make it better. So we'll be aggressively marketing this. The OAAA has been terrific. IBO has been terrific. We've presented to both groups. Our team's available, and we've presented to, I think, about 30 different municipalities. We work through the billboard companies, and they ask us to come in and we'll present on their behalf. We'll write application reports for them for the permitting office, et cetera.
I assume that a number of highway billboard projects have been refused by local city councils and municipal governments in general because of light pollution issues. Do you have any sense of how often that happens?
I don't, David, it'd be speculation on my part to say, but I will tell you that I'd say well over half of our sightline implementations are situations where they have been not approved with regular, but we've been able to turn that around with the sightline application. And then we have some operators, the great community people, they've actually using this proactively without being asked. They said, listen, I think there may be a problem here. Here's what we're going to do.
You may have said it, but I missed it. Do you do indoor stuff as well?
We do. Yeah. Indoor is a growing market. We have actually two different lines within the Vision IQ indoor area. One is your typical flat panel that goes from 4 millimeter down to 0.9 millimeter. I think we have 13 different pixel pitches in that range. And that scales to whatever you want. That can be also curved corners. And then we're actually close to an acquisition of a transparent technology that we're going to port to our Vision IQ control system. So that we're hoping to announce that next couple of weeks.
Is that the mesh stuff or film?
Mesh and pox and a variety of different things. Because what we're seeing on the indoor side, when you get into with an AV integrator or a sign company that will be working with a building or a casino, they want an integrated solution. They'll want they want digital outside, digital inside as a combination of LCD and LED. And then some of this new, and you've seen it overseas. Overseas has so much more of this mesh and film technology than we do here, as today, anyways.
Yeah, I like the transparent stuff. I've often written about how it looks great, and it's really crisp now and everything else. The problem is it often looks like crap from the inside. So I think it depends a little bit on how you're using it and where.
Yeah, well, some of the newer stuff and some stuff that we're evolving here, you have to think that through. So you have to make sure that, for instance, from the back, you have as much transparency as possible. Too, the color of the subframe matches the mullions and the rest of the decor of the thing. So it's more of an architectural type. Solution versus just a pure sign solution, if that makes sense to you.
So if I'm out and about in the old days when we were allowed to travel, where would I see, kind of a signature reference media resources display? I'm thinking of, I mentioned the Sacramento Hard Rock, but also is it the Avengers Station or Marvel Avengers Station in front of Planet Hollywood?
Yep.
Not Planet Hollywood. What's the name? Treasure Island.
Treasure Island. Yep. Yeah. So that's a typical one. In Toronto, of course, we've got many spectaculars. Niagara Falls, we've got 110-foot tall spectacular. In terms of billboards, I think we're in over 110 cities now in North America. So, we've got a pretty much in every area, from super hot and moist like Florida to dry like Phoenix, to we've got stuff in the Yukon for super cold. And then where you are, David, in that Halifax Harbor, it has its own unique challenges with salt air fogging. So yeah, we've seen it all.
Yeah. It's as soon as you go outside, it gets challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of a benefit though, honestly, because we have had issues over the years, and we've evolved through that. I'm kind of glad we're in all those different geographies, because we've seen the implications of solar load and salt air fogging and moisture and temperature changes in Alberta. Right, a temperature can change 30 degrees, Celsius, 60 degrees Fahrenheit
in half an hour in Calgary. Yeah.
So that creates its other challenges.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, thank you so much for taking some time with me. It's been great to catch up.
Likewise, sir. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group. the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.